Mukhtar with Sapan. Mukhtar, step over. Mukhtar, shot. Goal! 2-1 Nashville. From Orlando City. Their season could end in about 14 minutes. Here's Nani. Nani's shot blocked. It hit Zimmerman. It's still loose. He's won an MLS Cup with Colorado back in 2010. Andy Baba fouls Pato. He's going to get booked for it. He really had no choice there. An inviting ball in the middle, headed down, Bacadelli, he missed. It was there, the game-tying goal was on his right foot. Post, missing. He can take some time off the clock, he'll roll it left, Lovitz. Maybe a half minute left, unless more time is added. But he's in.
You gotta be kidding me! That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal!
So Failure decided to show up and pay you a visit. But now you feel that it is over for you. You feel that there is no coming back from this failure. You must understand that failure is required. And you must be willing to be humble enough to not just learn from it, but grow from it. You don't deserve a victory without a failure. There can be no victory without a struggle attached to it. Failure does exactly what is necessary to make you better, to put you on the path at the right moment. To be able to build something from the ground up. And just because you fail, it doesn't mean that it's over. Sometimes you got to be able to understand. You're not worthy to be a champion if you don't apply yourself to be one. You're not worthy to hold on to a title if you don't have the integrity and the understanding and the grit and what you need to do to maintain what it means to be a champion. You don't deserve to have it handed to you. You may have to accept a few losses. You're gonna have to sometime understand that you got to lose so that you can win it all. A champion.
It's time for the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. With your hosts, JJ, Eddie, Cleon, and Alex Brown.
Welcome to another edition, the final edition of the Orlando Lions Den Podcast for 2021. I'm your host, Jason JJ Jose, along with my sidekicks. Of course, we have Cleon. What's happening, Cleon?
Man, I'm good now. I'm good now. We had to take about a good month or so break to mentally process the season, man. So, but I'm good and ready to go, refocus, re-energize, you know. All good now.
Awesome. Then we got Eddie the Commish. Eddie.
What's up, man? It's good to be back. Defeat sucks, so we took some time to process that. I had to work hard and re-sign some, pick up some options, you know. We got Cleon's option. We're trying to renegotiate, you know, his minutes. Somehow he negotiated, you know. We're trying, you know, whether space counts as a podcast, as an appearance, or as a cap. You know, we're trying to cap time over here. And then it's unlike Orlando City, I decided to extend our aging Portuguese, star for a couple more years. And then Alex is on a young contract, so he got Generation Adidas, so we're good there. So we got that all clear, and here we're all back looking forward to 2022. It's a big year with a lot on the horizon.
There you go. And then we got Alex Ryder. Alex.
It's been 26 days since we last got to watch Orlando City play. Like Cleon said, I've kind of gotten over it. I'm sure we're going to talk in length about not only the playoff game, but also just the season in general. 31 days since we potted, boys. It's been a full month, and I've missed you guys, and I'm sure the audience has as well, as evidenced by a lot of activity on Twitter talking about anything and everything rumor related. But just looking forward to hashing out this season and looking forward to bigger and better things in 2021 or 2022. All the years.
2022. And of course, the season will be starting very shortly, in about basically 2 months, 2 months and a half, because of the World Cup. They decided to start the season for MLS a little bit. We'll go more into detail about that a little bit later on with the scheduling that came out and everything else. Let's thank our sponsors real quick. Let's thank Tuga Landscaping for all your landscaping needs. Get with Tuga Landscaping. They treat your yard like it's one of theirs. Then also we have Leo with Accurate Mortgage. Leo, he can get you a nice fix. And now, especially with inflation going on and everything, you got to get and a lot of houses are starting to get up higher, the prices, but he can get you those good rates, especially VA rates and everything. So get with Leo Gonzalez at Accurate Mortgage. Eddie.
And we got Field Turf USA. Field Turf, we saw another of their clients in the finals. They didn't win, but they saw another finalist. So their team's tend to do well. But anyways, they added Vancouver. Vancouver's going to Field Turf. And of course, the biggest pitches in Europe use their kind of blended sample. So we blended product over there. So we're proud to have a big company like Field Turf as our sponsor. And then of course, if you need anything insurance related, hit me up on my Twitters or any social media. And that's it, JJ.
All right. So let's start and let's talk about the season of 2021 of Orlando City. What you guys thought about it. I want to know your thoughts of the season. Where did we fall short, guys? And did we meet or surpass our expectations as a club this year? I can go first. We started out hot, and we looked like we were going to be a team to be reckoned with, but it seems like we get the midsummer, late summer blues happening, which it always happens to us. I don't know why. And we started falling down. Injuries started catching up on us. The old legs of Nani started getting there. I mean, he started so hot. Like, we were like, man, this guy is reborn again. You know, he looked like he was playing in Manchester United and Sporting of Portugal and everything. And then all of a sudden he started reducing his minutes. Poppy did, and he started, you know, getting tired. Did we meet our expectations? Well, we made the playoffs. I think that's one thing that we wanted to do. I don't think we wanted to be down that low to where we were playing in the playoffs. I think we wanted to be in the top three. So I think we didn't meet our expectations. We didn't. We did meet it because we made it to the playoffs, but we didn't meet it because we didn't make the top three. And I think that's where we needed to be, where our expectations were, not to be where we were in the playoffs. But a lot of injuries occurred. And I don't want to say mismanagement of players. Poppy mismanaged some of the playing. I just think it was all injuries related. And a lot of people, you know, you can't play them in all the games. And tired legs started to catching up to us there at the end. So I'm happy we made it to the playoffs. I think we should have gone further. And we'll see next year how we do. Cleon, what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely have to say, for me, it was definitely, I would say, it did not meet expectations. It was a disappointing season. Yes, we were sitting in the top 2-3 for what, 80% of the season. But we expected that coming in, or the majority expected that coming in. we began the season, everyone talking from fans to even the front office talking about we're playing for trophies this year. We did not get any. We washed out. We washed out in our League's Cup. We washed out in our playoffs. We washed out in the back end of the season, to be honest. So I would definitely say it was definitely a disappointment. How we ended up. Yes, there was a lot of injuries. There was a lot of excuses. And yes, we did battle through those injuries and stay around the top of the table of the East table for the majority of that season. But overall, I can't. It definitely did not live up to what we were promised coming in, or told we were gonna have. Like you said, we were coming into the season looking for trophies. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And we expected to get at least one.
So, and we ended up with zero.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alex Ryder, what's your thoughts?
I'm gonna echo everybody else. We definitely checked a lot of boxes this year. We played in our first international competition. Like Clan said, we washed out of that pretty unceremoniously. We played well up until the end of June, and then July onward, it was touch and go there. We talked repeatedly throughout the second half of the season on how the match in New York was the turning point, and in hindsight, we lost 5-0 to the MLS Cup champions on a baseball diamond in the Bronx. And we came in with so much optimism, but there were injuries. There were people that didn't come back in form. I mean, Daryl DK, our co-leading scorer, he actually was our leading scorer in all competitions, but co-leader in MLS with Nani at 10 goals apiece. Didn't come back right away because he had to come back in the summer window. And even when he came back from international duty at Gold Cup, kind of broken, and it took him a while just to get back into form. And when he got back into form, he was great. So this season could have been a lot different. And I know we'll get into this more, but we've really struggled at getting goals that would have made us a lot higher. There's half a dozen matches that we can look back on and say those are drop points that hurt us, that could have gotten us a better spot, could have gotten us a home match that would have allowed us to advance farther in the playoffs instead of a disappointing showing in Nashville. So
yeah, good point.
Disappointing with what we went into. Pato getting injured the first match of the season really put a damper on things as well, and that's what stretched us kind of thin. And we did okay early on, but down the stretch we got tired.
Yeah, and you have a good point there about the goals, you know, us not putting goals behind the net and games that a lot of people say, oh, you know, Chapman screwed us in that game against Nashville. That's what we should have been. That if we would have won that game and he would have given the goal, we would have had a home. Well, really, Chapman didn't screw us. Yes, he did screw us, but he didn't. We should have won easier games, and we didn't win them. So we wouldn't have been in that predicament.
In that position to begin with.
Exactly. We wouldn't have been in that predicament at that time if, well, you know, Chapman, that wouldn't even matter if Chapman did screw up or didn't screw up. Eddie, what is your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the season, no, I don't think we met expectations because I think you don't go into a season bringing back most of the same crew, you know, trying to hope like an addition like Vanderwater and Pato can contribute and grow from some young players and expect to finish off, you know, worse seed and not winning a playoff game. So you can call it a success if you went backwards in that case. I mean, I thought I wasn't never sure that this team was a Supporters Shield winning team. Club or that we would win the finals. If we went on a run, I would always kind of fight back against them. What I said, we'll lose in the semifinals, and we couldn't do that. So there's a lot of factors go into it. Alex, Cleon, you, JJ, you guys all hit on it. Injuries and whatnot. I think some of the injuries changed our way of playing. I think Oscar probably went back to more of the defensive, you know, grind it out, tougher to play. That ended up with when you play like that, you have to be clinical in front of goal, and everybody besides DK wasn't. this year, you know, when Nani in the second half and Mueller just had a bad year. Even Benji scored less, and Tesho didn't score for quite a while either. So I think those injuries and the schedule and some bad losses, it got us into this style of play that wasn't what we were hoping we would see this year. Last year we were protagonists and all that was the buzzword, and we were taking it to people and scoring a little bit, and it felt like we were more threatening. And this year it didn't feel like we ever got on a real roll where we were playing good football for a good stretch. I mean, there was some games, some matches, maybe a couple in a row, but it felt like we were just hanging on sometimes quite often, and it ended up catching us in the butt when the team that was more clinical beat us in the playoffs. And look, it's not an either or with Chapman. He did screw us, but also we should not put ourselves in that predicament. They're both things are true. People, it's a false dichotomy here. It's like, well, Chapman doesn't matter. Hey, the fact is the fourth seed won the trophy this year. We would have been the fourth seed if not for Chapman, but we should have been locked into the fourth or higher seed if we just beat teams like the Red Bulls and TFC when we're supposed to, and Chicago Fire, etc. So yeah, that's what I have to say about that.
All right, let's move on now. After our thoughts here of expectations and everything, now that we got new ownership, guys, how are you guys feeling about the new ownership and some of the front office moves? You know, we just got a new marketing, I think, strategist guy from the Tampa Bay Lightning. What's his name? Cleon, I know you know, or Eddie, you guys, the guy's name.
Cleon, you got it?
The one that just got hired.
His last name's Dylan. I'm pretty sure it was
Jared Dylan or something.
Jared Dylan from Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, from the Tampa Bay Lightning.
They've been like wildly successful, yeah. You know, in attendance and things like that. Which is, I mean, I guess that's something. I mean, you're talking about hockey in Florida, right?
Yeah,
hockey in Florida. Hockey in Florida, soccer. Trying to pitch hockey to American fans in Florida, and then trying to pitch soccer to them. I guess it's kind of similar.
Well, one thing is similar. You're right. But one thing is different. Tampa Bay is a winning team. You know, they go to the Stanley Cup. They win the Stanley Cup. Orlando City isn't that. They don't go to MLS Cup. They don't win MLS.
Even before, though, their attendance was pretty high.
And yeah, and they went to the Cup while he was
exactly
there.
And I think that's exactly why this move was made, because no offense, but we talked about it a while back on begging people to come out for important games. Our average attendance was 15K and change this year. That's low. I mean, I understand that last year was lower, but again, pandemic, those numbers are really questionable, but that's our lowest attendance with a fully functioning stadium, fully opened ever. And we were playing pretty darn well. I mean, we had better attendance in the 2019-2018 seasons when we all wanted to just, it was bad. And now we've got a better product on the pitch and people aren't coming out. And if that's still due to the pandemic or if it's due to just people losing interest. Yes. We've lost it, had people lose interest over time, and we need some fresh blood to advertise.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I gotta jump on that too, Alex. It's you hit the key point right there. Our attendance has been down the most with our two most successful seasons. Yes, there was COVID, but look, COVID ain't just in Orlando, Florida. That's everywhere. And everyone else was packing these stadiums out, bro. So it's like, I don't see how that, like, so to me, that COVID excuse ain't really, and isn't really valid anymore. I mean, stadiums are open, bro. Like, watch National Football Stadiums is what? Packed to the gills. Even other MLS teams, you see there, look, they're selling out. A lot of them out. A lot of them are really full. We have a serious attendance issue, and a lot of Orlando fans, they kind of duck their hands in the sand because, you know, we've always kind of took pride and, oh, we're the best, all this type of stuff. But you got to take our heads out of the sand. Like, it's an attendance issue at this point. It's a serious issue. And it needs to be fixed. It's not winning. It's not COVID. It's lack of interest.
Absolutely. There's no buzz. No, there's like a buzz. It's not a top of the mind. It's not an event. It's not something you're going to want to, you know, go to. They, you know, there's various things that have contributed to that. We're like, people underestimate the effect Tom and Dan and those kind of guys had, you know, their hold on that Gen X, the Gen Z kind of, you know, dad market, you know, cargo shorts, whatever, dude, bro, kind of market at that age, that 30, 40 to 50 is a perfect soccer demo, right? Those are the adults who are like live in Winter Park and they grow up and their kids play, you know, in nice leagues and all that. And then they kind of come here to be young again and drink and tailgate and the lack of tailgating and the no magnets and lack of tailgating is huge, man. Huge. If the no magnets and just, it's not a top of mind, anything with marketing, you have to have, it has to be top of mind. It has to be an event. People used to go to Orlando City just to show that you were there because it was a thing, the end thing to go to. And it's no longer that. So I'm not going to throw this guy out because I don't know, but he seems successful. But I like, the point is, like, whatever we had going on wasn't working. So like,
all right, let me tell you something. This is where I went up to Nashville and Cleon was there also with me. We went up to the Nashville game. We were ILF. We hung out with ILF. We did everything with ILF. And you know something, what I felt proud? I felt proud to see Kay Rollins there with us. I felt proud to see Kaya Forge, which is the assistant basically to Kay Rollins for the foundation, you know, there hanging out with us. They were there in the stands with us cheering on. They didn't go to, you know, a box seat or whatever like that. They were there with us.
Yeah.
There with the ILF and the Ruckus or whatever. They're supporting Orlando City. That's what's missing is, and I hate to say it, Kay Rollins is doing the best damn job she's doing to continue supporting and having these fans and interacting with the fans and doing everything.
While also being great in the community.
In the community.
No, yeah, her impact is a lot bigger than people think it is.
Another level. She's doing great there. Her and Miguel, that whole Orlando City Foundation.
Yeah, and then their connection to the past too.
But my thing is the only people that I see doing that is Kay. You know, I want to see other people doing it. You know, like Alex wasn't doing that. Leitão, you know, he wasn't. That right now they just pass by you and everything. We're there for Orlando City. We're there to support Orlando City. If it's not because of us, Orlando City would be nothing, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. If it's not because of the wall, Orlando City would be nothing. We're there. And Kay understands that. Kay reads that from all of us. And that's why, you know, at Nashville, she was there supporting us in the stands with us, with the ILF and the Ruckus. Okay. So to me, we need more of that. Okay.
You don't think this guy can do that
I don't know. For me,
I think JJ's got a good point there.
He has a point.
Needs to be part of it. I think that's valid.
We need the human connection.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Look, you know, Phil Rollins used to go out there tailgating. Yes, we're missing the tailgating and everything. And I just don't feel that you got this upper management that just is in their player box up there in the luxury box. And thanks for giving me the money. That's, you know, no, we're fans of this team. We are this team. We are what made Orlando City, Orlando City. Go ahead, Cleon. What do you have to say?
I honestly don't think it's that is the reason. Cause it's, I mean, at the end of the day, when they do those things, I feel like those types of things are the reasons for keeping the hardcore supporters in. But the problem isn't the hardcore supporters. They show up. Whether you don't like Alex and whoever else being up in the box, you still went to every game, just like I did. The problem is the casual people who, and let's be honest, the casual fans, they don't even really know Kay and Phil and Kai and people like this. They don't know these people. They really don't.
I think some of the hardcores have gone too, though.
Yes, they have.
I think the volume, the level of support, how vociferous it was, has reduced because of the lost that connection.
Yes, even those have gone. But the reason our stadium looks empty, it's while yes, hardcore supporter groups and fans have gone down, but not as much as the casuals. The casuals have disappeared, bro. Like, they have straight up disappeared. They are gone.
Part of that. Sorry, Bishop.
Go ahead, Alex.
Part of that could also be with the economy. I mean, the numbers, I'm looking at these attendance numbers from SoccerStadiumDigest.com, and we were down to 11th in the league this year. We decreased to almost 30%. They don't do year-over-year numbers from 2020, which is fair. But in 2019, before the pandemic, before the economic downturn that came with it, we had an average of 22,700 fans. This year, we had 1,500 and change. That's a staggering drop. That is the third biggest drop in MLS behind only New York and Montreal, who had, good grief, NYCFC, the MLS Cup champions, had an average attendance of 5,000. I think you can blame that on the pandemic, though, because they had some limits there. But still, it's these numbers point to more economics, the pandemic, but also not getting enough reason to come out. And I respect people that don't want to come out of concern for their health. But other than that, it's the people are all still there. We still have a lot of people, if not more people, online talking about the club, but we're not seeing that attendance. And I think that was a factor in some of the home games that we lost.
Well, you know, you're saying the pandemic, but you're still seeing 60,000, 70,000 at a Bucks game at Raymond James Stadium.
Well, the Bucks just won the Super Bowl.
I'll go Falcons or I'll go Carolina Panthers, something like that. You're still seeing, you know, 50,000 or they something like that. The problem is it's football. It's American football.
Yeah, but that's the problem, JD. Florida fans, let's be honest. Orlando City was an outlier because the state of Florida, besides University of Florida and FSU, is not a good sports state. It's not. There is no team that gets regularly supported. All the Rays, Marlins, Jaguars, Bucks before they got Brady. I've been to Bucks games, half the place is 49er fans. I went to Jacksonville,
you know something?
Half 49er fans. Orlando City was an anomaly, but because the Orlando is full of transients like myself, people from other places, there's a bandwagon component. When you start winning, you they start showing up, but that's the problem, right? Because that's the trend. It didn't happen
in Orlando. Miami came into the league in 2020.
Yeah, but then Orlando not winning. And it's not even just the economy, because the spot that you see empty is the west side with the free food and included in the thing and the food and all that. The yuppie side is the empty side. They're the ones not showing up. It's not a thing anymore. And the cocktail circuit, I guess, in Winter Park or whatever, or Baldwin Park, to go to these games anymore. They're the ones that are empty. The wall, trying to do what they can. They're still pretty full. They're still doing their thing in other areas, but I think it's just not a thing to do or happening or whatever it is or trendy anymore. Before, it was like an event, Field of Bold, blah, 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 all these different things. Take a picture. You actually went to Orlando City game, wear purple, etc., bring people. But it's died off, and we need to reconnect.
Let me ask you this. We're not going to get a mid-season attendance bump from the World Cup this year. Do our numbers stay the same, and then do we get a huge bump next year with the World Cup next November and December?
How is the World Cup going to make – or are you just saying people get generally more interested in soccer, period, because of the World Cup?
That's true.
People, that's all got me, too.
People get interested in the World Cup when the World Cup is happening.
Yes, but they get interested more in soccer. That's all happening.
They're on ESPN, people get interested.
Yeah, the U.S. World Cup, the 90 whatever. Well, that's, I got an MLS too. Yeah, you know, that's true. That is happening. But I think it needs to be like almost corny, like glitchy, like kitschy, you know, a bunch of events, you know, tailgating, giveaways. It needs to be some kind of event, and you need to take pictures with young, diverse young people, and then some parents with their kids or something. Like, you have, that's what it's going to work, because winning, we were better and people didn't show up, and I don't know if we're going to be better next year. How do we know that? And then the people we're rumored to be signing, none of them is a big name. We're not going to delve into it, but one of the names we're tied to is Facundo Torres. You think any casual is going to show up because of Facundo Torres? And nobody even knows how to even say his name.
Those we need our next Ricardo Cacá or Luis Nava.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, those people, you still hear it. You go and you get your free food in the yuppie line. There's like, is Cacá still here? You know, you hear, like, you see stuff like that, or Breck Shea shirt or a Cacá shirt. You know, those guys are gone, and are mostly gone too. So it's not a big name isn't going to do it. We're not getting a big name. If a big name does it, that's not what we're looking for right now.
All right. Well, talking about big names, we're going to talk a little bit right now about the roster. The roster for Orlando City 2022 roster talk here. Nani is out, our captain. The armband man, Orlando City did not basically re-sign him, so he is out. Mauricio is back, just signed a contract, 1-year contract. And Pato and Yuri, it's up in the air. Reports out of Brazil, I just saw, I was just on Twitter, showing that Pato might not even be signing with Orlando City. He was on television in Brazil saying that so he's a São Paulino. He's a São Paulista. So he's a São Paulo guy, and he wouldn't mind playing for São Paulo again. So those are up in the air. What do you guys think about the roster with Nani gone, Mauricio back, Pato, Yuri up in the air, Alex Rider?
Oh, boy.
And Tesho, you know, he's still around.
I'm just going to avoid that topic. That's bait. That was bait. I'm not going to take the bait. I'm happy that DK's back. Benji, obviously back. Mendez, obviously back. Perea, back. Matinho, Ruan, Schlegel. What I'm curious to see is the news about El Pupo. There's a lot of rumors surrounding him. We don't know if he's going to stay, if he wants to leave. They're talking about him wanting to stay, but then it's murky. I hope he stays. I think we need at least one more season out of him to really give us support. Obviously, we've seen departures of Nani and Chris Mueller, so we desperately are going to be looking for wingers. And unfortunately, I don't think Vandewater is going to be a full-time answer to that. Benji's obviously going to have to step up even more than he already did in 2021. The other determinant is going to be Pato. It's going to be Pato and El Pupo. We'll see if either resign, and that will determine really how we approach the rest of it. Because if Pato doesn't resign, we got to sign at least one additional high quality striker, if not two. And because, no offense, but Tesho Akindele, love him. He'll be good off the bench for 10 to 20 minutes every once in a while, but DK can't do it all. DK is a great player. I think we're going to hang on to him for another season, if not giving him a decent contract. But we need somebody else. We need somebody that can get in there and score goals. And we need someone that can also give him service. So we'll see.
Cleon, your thoughts about the roster?
I don't know. I don't know what confused Pupo. He's not going
there. Haven't there been rumors about
him? No, people have been misunderstanding that, bro.
No, they're misunderstanding.
He's signed.
He's under contract.
Until next year.
Bupo's talking about a possible extension. Bupo said that people have asked about him. There hasn't been anything concrete, and they're working on extension, but there's still some answers to questions. There's been rumors Boca's been active for a while, but there's nothing like concrete.
People's like twisting things out of proportion. Like, he talks about Orlando City wants him to stay. He's talking about because they want him to, I mean, he's in his last year of his contract. So they're either going to, when he talks about things needing to happen, that means that's talking about a renegotiation, not a renegotiation. That means an extension. So they obviously have to negotiate an extension. How many years extension and at what price?
Which would be nice.
Yeah, at what price?
Not only from a keeping him here in 2022 standpoint, but if we're going to transfer him out after 2022, it would be nice to not give him away on a free. That's the other thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's not. I mean, I don't know. The dude's under contract. He's happy. He's not looking to move. It's like I don't know where it's getting twisted from. Yeah, so it's the only discussions with Orlando City is a discussion of an extension and at how many years and at what price.
Do you guys think he should get an extension?
Of course. Definitely. What are you going to do? Let him go?
And if, like, yeah, but if you don't want to leave him on, let him go on a free, I mean, he's just going to be 32. Yeah. It's not like you're going to get a bunch
What's
of
What's
going to
happen?
But because, there's no reason to do another Mueller. So don't go
for because exactly. Because that's what negotiation is right now, because it's, you need to figure out if you need to get the extension locked down before July. Because at that point, when he says, you know, if things don't happen, then of course he gets, then he's going to have to start looking at the other offers, because he'll have 6 months left on his contract. There's no extension. There's no further contract to play beyond 2022. So of course you're going to look at options at that
point. So it's literally another Mueller is what it is.
Yeah. He's in the last year of his contract. So it's.
And Mueller, they tried to extend too. He didn't take it.
But Mueller is also was a lot younger, whereas he's older and.
Yeah,
is trajecting.
Look, but Pedro's status in Peru and Peru football. Now he's the captain a lot of the times. His status in Peru football has grown since he came to Orlando City. They see the reputation is good. They see that he's gotten better here. They were like, "Well, are you going there?" They're happy he's out of the Peruvian league. No, but obviously they like him to go to Europe or a bigger league in South America. They wouldn't be against that, but they feel like he's improved here and his stature with the national team, which is the most important thing to them. Is it has grown since he's been here. The same with Yoshi. Yoshi
especially
really,
the World Cup year.
Yeah, Yoshi really became a starter for Peru when he was here.
Yeah.
So we'll they see it. Bad. Yeah, yeah. But the in regards to the transfer, look, I thought you know, there's a lot Nani brings to the table, you know, in my opinion, and we're gonna have to test for lack of leadership and all that. He, I think he expected to come back for, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I've heard that he expected to kind of come back. It was a bit of a surprise at some point. And I thought, you know, depending on what we do our transfer window, you know, he still, you know, had double digit goals. We still lack goals. I don't like to see goals leave. You can be better spent on someone else for sure. But I thought, you know, whatever we gave that, you know, we're giving a small DP contract to Mauricio, right? I mean, you can give a small, it depends on the money. You could give a smaller DP contract, make it where you could buy it down. I wouldn't have been against that with Nani. Now, there's certain moves they've done I wouldn't have done. I would have probably kept John Moutinho. I would not re-sign Techo. I wouldn't try to bring back Yuri. And if I'm Pato, I'm on the other side. If I'm Pato, I'm not coming back here. Why would you come back here if you're Pato? I don't understand why you would. Because they're going
to
start.
Prove a point.
If DK, to prove a point that you didn't take the money, whatever, and all that. He knows he was making what he made a week, you know, and like Chelsea or Milan here for the whole season. So no matter what people, you know, what Facebook said or whatever, he you're going to come here. DK's going to start. He's not playing a 4-4-2. He's not going to be the 10. He doesn't have the legs to be on the wing. He's not going to start, you know, who knows how many minutes he's going to play. Cause you know, he doesn't track back or whatever, you know? So why would, I don't understand why Pato would want to come back here, to be honest. So no, that's where I said now, Mauricio's a player that when you watch him live, you appreciate him more. The people who say, you know, he's not good at stuff. The stuff he's being asked to do is a lot. He often comes in and there's 2-3 people he has to skate around and get the ball, you know, out into space and create the attack. And sometimes he forces things because There's nothing going on. You beat two people. You look to the side of your wingers, you know, on your side of the half because he had to track back. And what are you going to do? You pass it sideways. You're like, pass it forward. To who? The DK isolated? Right. So in my opinion, the way we set up didn't maximize Mauricio's abilities. But since Mauricio wasn't like a 10 his whole career, he was an 8, right? He can play in the midfield, drop deep and play through pressure and beat double teams, etc. And he does it all the time. And but his brilliance in MLS has been when you've had runners off of him, when he's unlocked the defense, when he's throwing it through, when he's had a three ball. Like that, remember that left footed one to DK against Montreal, or the famous to Benji run, I'll get it to you. The Columbus Crew goal, you know, but that Orlando City had down a man. All these things Mauricio has at his highest peak, it were when he had runners off of him. So if we're not gonna do that this year, then I'm fine bringing him back. I find it's a 1 year deal, but hopefully I'd rather use the three DPs on goal scorers personally. Mm-hmm. But if we're gonna have one on a non-goal scorer like Mauricio, then the other two better be goal scorers. And if we could bring in three, and there's young DPs, there's a billion different mechanisms Cleon could explain better than me. Then let's buy him down and make it happen. And, you know, Mauricio's probably a good candidate for captain next year, to be honest as well. So I do like, you know, brings in some veteran leadership and the people respect him and all that. So, and then one more year of those baby blues. I appreciate that too.
Speaking of, you're talking about non-goal scorers. How do you guys feel about some of the people that were declined? I mean, we declined Derek Dodson, David Larea, Raul Aguilera, Jordan Bender, Emmanuel Mas, and Rio Hogund. I know there's a lot of those are players that saw very limited pitch time, but
zero.
How do you guys?
Who?
Yeah, yeah. Look, I don't want to.
Mas is the only one that we saw late in the season, and he didn't show a lot. So honestly, none of them. I tweeted a lot about Derek Dodson because we were desperate for goal scorers. Mm-hmm. For all we know, he's going to end up on OCB, but he didn't do anything for us. He had an okay season in USL Championship, but he didn't do anything for us because we never really put him out there, and never really showed that he was a first team player.
The Dodson thing is weird because they look so excited and they moved down in the draft to get him. So that was weird. Yep. And we need a striker, but maybe he didn't show enough to just, you know, maybe they wanted him to show more so that we wouldn't have to re-sign Tesho. And then Oscar was like, what do you mean? We might not pick up his option. You know, how do you do, how do I get rid of a child of mine?
Maybe
you
he know, doesn't so, track back.
Yeah. Maybe he didn't track back enough. I don't know. But I think there's a chance.
Doesn't get enough tackles.
Yeah, I think some of these guys are going to go to OCB. They were just wasted in that space where we're nobody. And look, we said this before, and we're not trying to criticize it. The academy and the stuff is going good now. But some of these homegrowns and stuff were homegrowns in name only. Like, they just wanted to show that they were signing homegrowns and investing in that. And it was even maybe a stubbornness, even drafting Patino just because he was supposed to be a homegrown. So let's draft him when someone who could have been homegrown if they kept the relationship correctly, Andrzej Sieniawski, he was right there. Something like that, right? Someone who's producing MLS. And so I do think that was a bit of a marketing thing, and none of these guys really panning out, you know, so far is kind of, you know, makes that argument seem more valid, doesn't it? That these weren't really long-term projects. So we'll see what they do in OCB. And I don't know. I think
they're not going to OCB. They're gone.
Yeah. Oh, okay. They're gone. Okay. So OCB, they're going to have to if we really truly had that pipeline going, now I think we do. We're getting there. If we really truly had it, we would be able to fill up OCB. We're going to fill up OCB with other people and maybe some of that U23 beer league squad we got going on, and maybe some other kids. But it's just part of the evidence. Orlando City was a little bit behind on things. The Wolves are spending money on the academy, stuff like that. So, and the academy has been doing well the last 2 years. So we're trending in the right direction. And this is just a relic of the past that showed that, you know, we were behind and weren't running things properly when it comes to the reboot. Now, OCB 3.0, you know, first you don't succeed, try again, and fool me once, you know, shame on you. Fool me twice, strike three, right? As Michael Scott said. So let's see what OCB part three does this time. And who's all on right, it, frankly?
Let's talk MLS about
next pro.
All right. Let's talk about some of the rumors that are going around town and some of the roster stuff that have been talking about. We have Facundo Torres that Eddie talked about, I think, earlier. Facundo Torres from Peñarol, from Uruguay, who just won the Uruguayan national championship there in Uruguay. So you got Facundo. We don't know what's going on with that. Plenty of rumors on Twitter going around that he isn't going to sign. Orlando City representatives are there. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going on. So that's one rumor. The other one is Brian Ocampo. That's another rumor that's flying around. And then we have the former Orlando City player, Yoshi Yotun. He was let go by Cruz Azul of Mexico. A lot of speculation that he's coming back. Cleon, yes, I'm coming to you first. What do you feel about these rumors, and what do you feel what's going to happen, or if anything's going to happen, what's going on? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I really like the Facundo Torres and the Brian Ocampo. Mind you, the Ocampo one, it was just in that ESPN piece, and that came out of nowhere because no one had been talking about that at all. And honestly, that's the only place I've ever seen it was in that ESPN piece or whatever. They just threw it in there. It's like a throwaway comment, which was strange to me. But it did line up because they say homeboy's on a free and all that type of stuff. He's a really top prospect. It's pretty rare you see younger players like that on a free that early, where his contract just ran out and they didn't have him resigned and things like that. That he would be a really, really nice pickup. Along with Torres, they'll be a nice little partnership up top, on those wings. The nine, I don't know what we're doing there. I don't know what's going on. The only rumors we've seen at that nine spot has been, outside of possibly bringing back, Pato, has been like some older guys and things like that. It's strange with that situation, because Alex was talking about it earlier. He's talking like DK was back, but he's more up in the air than anybody, whether he's going to be back or not.
It all depends on if they want to let him leave or if they want to give him a DP spot. I honestly think it might.
Well, he's got to want that, it. Or it's on him. He's got to want that. So it's he's got to want a DP spot. So, I mean, I mean, you have to assume they've at least offered it. I haven't heard anything on it. I haven't heard anything that they have, but I mean, common sense would you think you would at least offer up. You had three DP spots sitting there wide open, and even a U22 spot, which is basically the same as a DP. You would assume you've at least thrown that out there. Hey, I know you want to go to Europe, but, you know, would 1.5 or so change your mind? You know, would it put it on hold, put that dream on hold for a year or two? I know it would put mine on hold for a year or two. That's a big, when you're talking about a guy making $128,000 a year and bumping that up to, you know, a million five plus, I mean, that would be a no-brainer for me personally, but I'm not Daryl DK.
He had a Generation Adidas deal, right?
Yeah, but that's not a lot of money. He was making $128,000.
There's also rumors coming out that he might go out on loan.
Exactly.
Don't do it again.
Back to West Brom, to the coach who was his coach at Barnsley. Mm-hmm.
Sell him.
So there's rumors, but they're negotiating the loan fee on that, and I guess it's pretty high, the loan fee, and I don't know if West Brom is interested in that or not. So, but that is what's being talked about. But go ahead, Cleon.
Oh, I was done.
Oh, you're done? Okay.
Can I type Alex in on that then? Because here's the thing. Putting him in back into England, but to the Premier League, where people are more with a coach that's familiar with him, that's great. And if it's going to, what was the loan fee? You never actually said.
West Brom is in the Premier League right now. They're in the Championship.
Oh, I thought they were in the Premier League. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Yeah, they're in the Championship. Yeah, they got dropped down.
I don't know how to feel about this because it might be the same thing all over again. He goes over there, he does great, he takes the championship by storm, and then we get him back during the summer window. And
he's tired again.
And he's tired again. He needs a month off. He needs to recover. It's not like he's going to go to the national team and get broken by Greg Berhalter and then not called back after Greg Berhalter over-relies on him. It's going to be he comes back, he needs a month off, and then maybe he can help us, or we do the whole thing again where, oh, he should be a $20 million transfer, and we cause all this controversy in U.S. soccer Twitter. Either make it very clear up front that this is like it's been rumored, a transfer with an option to buy with a very firm outward number instead of this rumor crap, or keep him, give him, pay him, and have him be the face of Orlando City in 2022, and give him the option to be transferred out after this season, because he has not had a full true season to do anything with a single team. In 2020, he came in having just finished his NCAA career and got thrown into a pandemic year of soccer where he rose to fame, rose to prominence, got his call up, went the day after his call up, went to England, took England by storm in the second division, then came back and had to slowly rise up here again. Give him one consistent season to show that he's not a half season player, and then send him away. But give him a contract so that we're not having another Kyle Larin situation, which honestly, I don't see that happening because I'm sure DK is getting better advice than Kyle Larin ever was.
Yeah, well, I want to jump in on that. Yeah, so I think DK has smart people in his life. You know, his brother was a professional. And he's a bright guy. His whole family's a bright guy. And no pun intended, his brother's name Bright, actually. I didn't even think of that. who knows what's going to happen? I personally, if I'm Daryl DK, I'm not on with Cleon. If $1 million is not going to make me, it's not going to make you postpone my dream or whatever. The scenario is whether or not he thinks he's going to succeed and thrive, you know, at where he's going, or he's just going to be kind of like put into the back burner. Like sometimes some of these kids who go to Europe, they happen to, like Brian Reynolds, for example, right? So if he feels like he can, he's in a good situation, he's going to get used, could grow, maybe be a sub or even championship start, stuff like that, then it's worth starting there. Why be in MLS if you could be in Europe, you know, in my opinion? And I don't think $1 million is going to be enough. It wouldn't be enough for me to do that.
It would for personally. Me.
Yeah, for you. But I don't think
it would for me, 100%.
Yeah, I don't think it would for me. It doesn't seem like it would for him. Personally, I think if he feels like he's ready, I think he could use some extra seasoning. There's still stuff he's learning. He's getting smarter for his runs, but his touch and certain things can get more seasoning, you know, getting both feet, etc. There's room. He's still a bit raw, so another year would do him good. But I'm not against it. If it's a hard loan, if it's a loan with a fee, and it's a heavy loan, loan fee up front. Yeah, you know what? Daryl takes a month to get back, and they paid us $3 million or something up front, $4 million with an option to buy with a number we're comfortable with. And that whole $20 million thing, people use it to mock the supporters' realism or whatnot. That was Don Garber who said $20 million. You know, that was it. He's the one who made it $20 million. We don't know what $20 million or not. And we don't know what offer was rejected from the big six clubs, according to, you know, the articles in the UK. So who knows what the number is going to be? I think it should be at least in the low teens or something like that. Right. And, but if West Brom is like, hey, we need him, we want to climb up, we're not going to buy him because we might stay in the championship. But if we're going to move up to the Prem, we have some plans with him for him, and we see him as part of our long-term pitcher. But, you know, I don't want to buy him yet because, you know, we might not go up.
We're currently fourth.
Yeah, Yeah, yeah. Let's go ahead and use them to get from the fourth for playoff spot to a locked in spot to move up to the next division, and like he did, you know, he moved Barnsley up just single handedly, basically, and then we'll buy him if we get to the Premier League, and we come to. I'm fine with that person. I'm fine. The okay. only the worry is we don't have that leaves us with just Tesha. That's problem.
That's what I'm saying.
The problem is Orlando needs to plan post DK already, in my opinion. Even if he signs something, it's not going to be, he ain't going to be here for two to three, four years. It's not happening. Orlando needs to start preparing post DK right now. AD after DK. Right now we need to bring in somebody who can take over, who can start, who can rest him, who can team up, maybe to, you know, two up top. We need in my opinion, we need to get a starting number nine right now, or starting caliber number nine.
So you're talking about a starting number nine. You've brought that up. Cleon's brought that up. We're 70 days from opening day. And unless the front office and the Twitterverse and the rumorverse as a whole is keeping our striker intentions very quiet, we have no alternatives to an AD after DK future where he goes on loan. Because honestly, West Brom, a loan to West Brom might be a good short-term investment if they give us a couple million just for a loan and a possible buyout for him and the teams, like you said, to if he goes to the Premier League, which would be good for us, good for them, good for US soccer, because then we have another potential striker in the Premier League going into a World Cup year. That would be awesome. But what are we going to do? Because Tesho Akindele is not going to be a starting number nine for us unless we are desperate. And that's a problem. We don't have anybody to back him up.
Remember, January window opens up everywhere. You know, you got Europe opening up in January, the window. There's going to be a lot of moves.
The rumor mill gets started.
Yeah, we brought Nani in super late, remember?
Yeah,
that's true. We were in the stadium for a preseason match when that was being talked about.
Exactly.
I mean, good grief.
Yeah, look, and Tesho could do the job. Tesho could do the job. I mean, we could make a playoffs with him or something. But the point is, we're trying to grow and become like, you know, win a trophy. And he's not going to do that. So we need to just move on. If I'm DK,
the bottom line is,
if I'm Orlando, I sell DK or move on and try to plan from there.
We can't get married with these players. Okay, we know that these players are going to come and go. They're going to go other places, and we can't. They're Orlando City players now. Tomorrow they could be a different team, you know, with the money or whatever, or transfer or whatever. So we just can't be married to them.
Yeah.
That's all I want is a plan.
Yeah, yeah.
If I see that plan, then we'll be great.
Look, and to talk a little bit, some context about Peñarol over there in Uruguay, the Uruguayan champions, they the president, like, there's rumors, all kinds of stuff, you know, but the president of Peñarol has been on the air several times. Facundo Torres, you know, I watched a YouTube video with him, right? Facundo Torres, the president, confirmed Italy, it's a club in Italy, a club in Spain, in Orlando, and the United States are in for him. The president did say Orlando City, that he said they met, etc. He said, look, between the 15th and the 18th, we're gonna see if it's enough money, because Peñarol is very, you know, Uruguay's different economy. They very much rely on fans and merchandise and ticket sales, and their training facilities a bit shambles. And he said, to quote the president of Peñarol, that $1 million more is a lot for Peñarol. They could change the training facilities, they could add transfers, etc. So they're trying to get the maximum amount for their players. There's a $20 million release clause on Facundo Torres. The rumor was that if they've got $9 million for 70%, there was something in their contract that they would let him go or something. It seems like the president said, look, at this point, we know he's going somewhere. If he stays, great. It's like a bonus. Like, we signed a player, but we assume he's going somewhere. Well, it's just a matter of where. So I really think this is a, you know, I feel like this is very possible. There's genuine interest. The club has met, and they you know, there seems to be enough there where, because the president himself has been talking about said meaning. So the Peñarol is just trying. It's pretty much a broke club, like a lot of South American clubs are, and even other champs. They're trying to just maximize and make sure they get the most. But you know, they're gonna do something with Facundo, and hopefully we win. Because like Cleon, I like the cut of his jib. He's a little bit redundant. He seems there's some skill set that Vanderwater has. You know, like left-footed guy cutting in from the right. Most left footers are pretty one-footed. He seems to be, you know, pretty much the case. He can play on both sides, but his strength is kind of just to pop up anywhere, kind of that second striker, second 10. When Mueller was good, that's what he was doing. When Mueller and Nani, and when we were scoring, they were all over the place and cutting in and pocket wingers and all that kind of stuff, diagonal runs and playing off the striker. When they were doing that, and that's when we were a threat offensively. That's when we were scoring goals. It seems like they like that kind of guy, because that's what Vanderwater is, but so is Facundo. So I don't know what that means. If, you know, one of them goes to the left side or what, or they just, Vanderwater is not meant to be like a starter. If you put someone who's the DP,
he just wouldn't be starting.
You're going to be starting. So Vanderwater isn't. So, you know, whatever, who cares? I wish we had a DP in a town at every spot. Who cares? Let them battle out. I could care less. You know, that's a good problem. That's a sign of a good club to have redundancy with, you know, let people battle it out, you know, regarding who's going to start. But so there's, I like the cut of this guy's jib. He seems like a good player. Uruguay is a country that brings, you know, some good players. There's been some MLS flops. Ryan Rodriguez, I don't know if flop, but he hasn't really lived up. I didn't say flop. Yeah, mostly a flop. And Diego Rossi, though, he panned out real well. And we'll see. But there's definitely some smoke there, some fire. I don't know if it's going to happen. But at least there's been some talks, according to the president of Peñarol.
All right. Let's move on, guys, as time is flying here for us. Let's hand out some awards for all of us here. Let's we're going to do four awards. We're going to do the stud of the year. Each one of you guys are going to give us the stud of the year. The under 22 of the year. The most surprising of the year. And then the dud of the year. I'm going to go with Alex Ryder. You go first.
Oh, good grief. Stud of the year, Pedro Galese. Just so many good saves, so many good performances. Really kept us in it when we had no business being in it, when we needed to hang on to a lead. A lot of great performances there from him. Perea is under 22, correct?
Yep.
He is definitely my U22 of the season. He definitely showed that he was capable of being a top 11 player, he's definitely by far our best youth and to give us a chance. So most surprising. Can it be surprising in a bad way?
Yep.
Chris Mueller. I was surprised that he didn't put more out there this season. I know that his head was elsewhere the second half of the season, but I was very surprised to see him go out there and have the season that he had. Even coming, he came off of, at the end of 2020, he came off with a awesome performance for the national team in really a throwaway match in early January, but he came into the season and just, he had some injury issues and showed that maybe he wasn't what we thought he was. So it kind of softened the blow of him leaving, but it's sad to see him go still. And then you said dud of the year. I already said Mueller, dud of the year. Honestly, the summer transfer window.
That's a good one.
The summer transfer window with Moss, who we released less than 5 months later. It's not a good window for us. We obviously needed some help there. We needed some help at striker. We needed some help in more help in defense that we got, and we didn't get it. We got one player. So that's what I got. That's what I'm going with.
All right. I guess I'll go, and I'll let you guys go. My stud of the year, to me, he might also be my surprising of the year. No. My stud, I'll give it to, man, yes, Pedro was great and everything. Man, I guess it's between Pedro and
you got to pick one, Simba. Sir.
No
between. It's one or the other.
All right. I'll give it to Seba Mendez. To me, I think, you know, when he was in there, the oil was running correctly on the machine. Everything was running smoothly. So I'll give it to Seba. The U22 player, I'll give it to, I guess, Andres Pereira. I give it to him. And then the surprising, Kyle Smith, man. Very surprising. Playing left back, right back, any back, whatever back you need, he was there.
Fat back?
Well, yeah. No. Tax back, rack back, whatever. He was there. So definitely Kyle Smith. To me, he was the surprise. And he was actually very good in the first three quarters of the season, and then he got benched. I don't know why.
I was going to bring that up. He really didn't see the pitch. His decline really started in getting pitch time towards the second half of the season. Do you think there's any science to the fact that that might have contributed a little bit to our performance towards the end of the season? Having him be as flexible as he was?
I mean, your defense is worse when he's not there for sure, but that's for another day, I guess, right? But yeah, definitely, I mean, he's one of our better defenders. But yeah, JJ, if you need, was that your dud of the year, right? That's what you need.
No, I need my dud of the year. Yeah, and I'm gonna go with João Montinho being injured too much.
Ouch! Dang, that was personal, JJ. All right. And I was honest. I respect that.
Hey, I respect that. And you know, I love him, but
yeah,
hey. I got to do what I got to do. You know, it's part of the game.
That's true. With that, I'll go. The dud of the year is Pato because he got hurt the whole year.
Yeah. If we're going to go for injuries, I mean.
Yeah. But okay. If we're
accounting for injuries.
I didn't even think he was on the team. My fault. I forgot all about it.
Yeah. I was like MVP. Look, everybody counts at training. He's the best player, but he didn't track back and et cetera at the end. So he didn't play, you know. So it's not all his fault because he could have played more minutes than that. But, you know, we had to sub in a center back in the 96th minute or something instead. Save that sub for Vanderwater at the 97th minute to come in, try to save the day. But if we're gonna do injury, then we're gonna include injury, then Pato's dud of the year. If not, then it's Chris Mueller, because I mean I didn't think he was his high of last year was who he was, but I was hoping, you know, he could sustain that. You know, because I mean, out of 4 years, he had one really good year, but man, he's pretty much stunk last year. Stud of the year, I'm with JJ. I'm going to give it to Sebas Mendes, because when he came in, the team just played better. They looked like a squad that looked like they could move the ball, and we played more quickly. He's just a very good player. I think he's a top five in his position in the league. And definitely stud of the year. Most surprising player. Oh my gosh, that's a tough one, man. Most surprising player. Kyle was a good pick, but you already picked him. You know, can I say Chris Mueller again? I'm surprised he did so bad. No, that doesn't count.
Yep.
No, please.
Yeah, let's do dud. Let's do dud, Pato. Surprising player. Mueller for falling back. Also, Vanderwater, I thought a little bit more.
One.
Yeah, one. Okay. Yeah, Mueller. Okay. Yeah, okay. And guys, you guys, I don't know if you guys just missed this, but U22, how is it not Daryl DK? He's 21 years old. He's 21 years old.
Are you people on crack?
JJ, I thought you were going to do it. And you're like, I guess I'll settle for Perea because none of our other kids are
like, are you guys high? Good.
You got two good kids. We got just two. That's it. You're not going to pick.
Is this a trick question? Because I forgot he was even 20.
Yeah, I looked at, to be honest, I double checked.
Benji and I had to Google, and he's 24, so that throws him out of the running.
Yeah, yeah.
And me not realizing DK is below 22 is.
That's it. DK is 22 for sure. There you go. That's mine.
He's like barely 21, I think.
Yeah, he turned 21. He's not even 21 and a half yet. Yeah, his birthday is.
Let's go.
Yeah, go ahead, Cleon. Jay just tired.
All right, stud of the year. I want to go. I agree with you guys on Sebas was our most influential. And if he was able to play the whole week, he was just out too much for me to give it to him. I would want to. But since I have to take him out because of those reasons, I will have to go with. I'm going to have to go with one of the center backs, bro, because, I mean, what else are you going to do? I'm gonna go with Antonio Carlos.
Not Pedro.
No, he was out a lot too, man. Pedro missed a lot of games. And I'm gonna say something that's probably a little controversial. I'm not saying the dude had a bad year, but Pedro was down this year, in my opinion. From where he was last.
I think the defense overall was down this year. Yes. We created more chances. But he made bigger.
I mean,
a lot of it
wasn't his fault. Yeah. I mean, a lot of it just after, you know, guys just started letting things leak and, you know, but he was down this year, definitely in the second half of the season when he was available. Then I'm not saying the dude was bad or nothing like that. He's excellent. He's the best goalkeeper I've had. Excellent. So re-sign him, bring him back, all that. But I can't give him stud of the year for that. All right, moving past that. I wanted to give that to Nani, but Nani clunking out at the second half, I couldn't do it. U22 of the year, that's obviously Daryl DK. You guys are high. Most surprising player, I agree with you guys, Chris Mueller, 100%. I expected dude to have a down year. I expected him to come back down to earth a little bit, but I didn't expect him to crash like that. That was terrible. Dud of the year, also, and that's beating out Jesho. Also, Chris Mueller. He was terrible, man.
Wait. You got to pick one person per category, Cleon.
I did.
No, you picked Mueller. I mean, no, you can't pick the same. You can pick one person once.
You can pick him for all five if you want to.
Do you read the fine print? You wrote it yourself.
I know what I wrote.
Yeah.
All right. You just can't.
You got to pick someone else for Dud of the Year. No?
No, I don't. He was the dud. He was the worst, bro.
Okay, you were surprised at how much of a dud he was, right?
Yes.
Okay,
fair enough. He surprised me at how bad he was. And then he was definitely dud of the year. He was terrible, especially for as many minutes and games he got, bro. No, man, he was terrible.
I got one more.
Oh, my God.
The best kisser. The best kisser is the prophet, Fabian Bazan. All right. I just wanted to say that.
That's it. Undisputed. 100. Everyone agree? Yay. Your name. Yay. Okay.
I don't know. I didn't get the sample to be able to tell you. Only JJ knows that one.
Yeah. All right. We're going to finish off with our 2021 shout out. You guys want me to go first?
Yes, please.
Okay. First off, I want to give a shout out to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Especially tonight, my fantasy league has totally been shot down. I am done, and I didn't even play today because I had a bye because I was in first place in my fantasy league. But Leonard Fournette went out, and Chris Godwin went out with the knee injury and Fournette with the hamstring. I am done totally with fantasy. My first place, congratulations to whoever's in the playoffs with me. I was on a bye. My players got hurt. And then
I know he ain't complaining.
And then I want to shout out to all the Orlando City fans, man, that we didn't have a podcast, or I don't even know if we did or didn't, but everybody that went out to Nashville for the last game, and a shout out to Nani for being the way he is, you know, a true captain. You know, last, I just wish he would have been a home game that we could have said goodbye to him his last time. Instead, it was in Nashville that we had to say goodbye to him, and not everybody was able to say goodbye to him. But shout out to the fans and the team, man. Let's get this thing going and let's kick some butt next year. Cleon.
Yeah, I'm at the shout out all Orlando City as a whole. And I'm talking about the actual city, not Orlando City. We're going to need you guys to come back this year, man. And us Orlando City fans that haven't dropped off, we need to do our part too. The ownership, you definitely need to do your part. You need to get back out there. You need to throw that money out there and advertise like we used to back in the day. You know, we used to put in that advertising work in the beginning, or the front office used to put that advertising work in the beginning. And then once they started getting the guys coming in, they thought we had them and we can stop. Now, this Florida, this is like Eddie said, this is Florida. There's a bunch of casuals here, man. There's a bunch of fair weather fans, whole bunch of that type of stuff, man. You got to keep at it. You got to stay at it. You can never let up, because the second you do, they ain't coming back. That's how they roll. I went to a Magic game the other day. You should have seen it. It was ridiculous. It's terrible. I don't want to end up looking like that. So shout out to the new ownership. I'm gonna give you your fair shot. I'm gonna give you a fair shot. I'll see what's gonna happen. But we watching you. We got eyes on you. Get that lion statue out there. I want to make sure I see it. Along with some nice little nice DPs and things like that. Get me some goal scores. Get me things. I need some tricks. I need some treats this year. And I need y'all to get it done. Shout out to all y'all that's all out in there in Nashville, man. Terrible. Like JJ said. Sucks we had to do that on the road, say goodbye, but it was at least some of us got to. And at least Nani, Chris, even though I was talking bad about him a little while ago, Chris and even DK, we serenaded off. And if it was their last game, it was good to send them off that way. That's it for me.
Eddie.
All right. So I got a special shout out to Captain Nani. Changer. You know, I know we haven't won anything, but I felt like he turned us into winners, into like men, into grown-ups, you know, showed us how to be professionals, how to show up, how to train and all that stuff. So special shout out. I'm always going to remember him fondly. You know, people thought he was going to come here, wasn't going to try. And that man put it all out there for his club. And, you know, and I appreciate and will always be grateful to Nani for that. Chris Mueller, shout out to him, put in a lot of effort, a lot of passion. That wasn't what, you know, he never liked that. It was always there. It didn't pan out the way we wanted to at the end, but he's still a great dude, a good guy, one of our better players. And I wish him the best and wish we had a better send off to Chris Mueller. So shout out to Chris Mueller. He's a good dude, a good player, and the best of luck over there in Scotland. And then a special shout out. I'm going to give a couple. Look, I don't know if it's a shout out or not. I'm going to give a couple words of advice to the Wolves. Okay. I know you guys are hearing. Nobody cares about the
Wolves. No, he ain't. We checked. Remember?
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, that's right. He didn't know who he was. That's true. But hey, Jared, if you're listening. All right. Jared, I'm going to give you a word of advice too, Jared and the Wolves. Okay. We don't care about the Vikings. Okay, we met Mark Wilfried, Cleon. He was like, yo, I like purple. You know, that's hilarious. Don't care about the Vikings. None of us do. So whatever you're spending on marketing, if you're going to spend anything on marketing across market Orlando City with your other more expensive toy, it's spare it. And, you know, use that on a tailgating or on something else, because that's not going to work. I'm not going to care one bit about your other pet projects or toys. And he said, I don't think it's good. And that's not going to work. So just giving you that from the beginning. You guys did a great job. Training facility, environment in Minnesota. Work on that here. Special shout out to that. And look, you know, man, I'm going this year. I'm always optimistic and sunny, but I'm mad. I'm still mad. I'm mad. You know, so I shout out to, you know, the people in charge. You know, I don't know, man. Let's just get it right this year, because I'm just frustrated. I'm frustrated that we started Chris Mueller in the final. You know, yeah, I'm frustrated how the subs were used. I'm frustrated how so much emphasis was on defense from our attackers, things like that. I'm just frustrated by that. And I'm frustrated by the attendance. I'm frustrated by the transfer window going on so long. Like, you know, I'm hungry, man. We need something. We need some excitement. I need to see some signing. And this is huge to show what the Wolves intend to do for this club. And, you know, you only get one chance to make a first impression. And this is your chance, Wolves. So if you're listening, or if one of your minions is listening, the purple minions, I'm assuming, are listening, then I just want to give you guys I want to be arrogant enough to think you guys actually care what I think. And that's it. That's what I got.
Ryder.
Shout out to the fans. Shout out to the fans of this podcast. You guys are the best. We love talking with you each and every week. We're looking forward to doing a lot more stuff on Spaces next year, a lot more. We'll probably record a lot of that stuff now that Twitter's allowing us to, and we'll post some of that. Who knows what we'll do with it. It's going to be fun next year. Shout out to those fans again, because we love you. You guys do so much for all of us and make this so worth it to come together almost every week, every month after the season, to talk about this club that we all love so much. Shout out to the fans that traveled to Nashville. You guys were amazing. Watching you on TV was so entertaining. I was so jealous I wasn't there, but shout out to you guys for making that trip and showing Nashville what true support looks like, despite the results on the pitch. Shout out to the outgoing captain and best captain in Orlando City's history, Luis Nani. Thank you very much for your contributions to this club. Undisputed leader and unforgettable moments in this club's history that will not be forgotten. You came into this club in a very dark time, in a very stressful situation in 2019, and you overcame them. You came into 2020 with a good attitude. You overcame the pandemic with unforgettable moments, and MLS is back that I will never forget, that the club's fans will never forget. And you even put it all out there in 2021. And thank you. You will not be forgotten, and you will be forever missed. Shout out to the Orlando City workers, the front office people that aren't making club decisions day to day. You guys worked through a hard pandemic, through so much adversity in 2021, and you overcame that, and you gave the fans that did come out a great experience. I only got to go to a couple games this year, but every single one was unforgettable. And I know my fellow podcasters agree. These guys all go to a lot more games than me. Thank you for making every match day so special. And shout out to the future, I guess. I don't know. I don't have anything else special to really talk about. Shout out to what is to come for this club, because 2021 was not what we wanted, but 2022 can be everything and more. I feel optimistic. I feel like, despite me talking about wanting to see a plan, wanting to see everything go forward, that this club could surprise us and could make moves that ultimately lead to us achieving what could be done. I mean, look at some of the biggest clubs in Seattle, in New England, even Kansas City fell in MLS Cup playoffs. if this club can get a couple of pieces in, we can defy expectations and make 2022 an unforgettable year. I want to tattoo a star on my chest. I put that out there before. I'll say it again. I want to tattoo a star on my chest. I want this club to win. And I'm looking forward to having the Open Cup back in 2022. That'll be fun. It'll be good to have it back after 2 years. So shout out to the Open Cup. And awesome. Guys, shout out to you guys. I love you guys. I love coming on here every couple of weeks and talking. Too, JJ, I know yes. You want to go to bed, but I love you guys. I love talking about this club. And I can't wait to get back on here in a couple of weeks, probably about a month, and talk about everything that's going on in preseason and the January transfer window. So love you guys.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Alex.
Eddie, FYI, Eddie, that shout out just went so long. I want you to know that y'all just ran 7 minutes over my allotted 2021 contract time. So I'm expecting a little check.
Okay, right. Will, come on now.
Yeah, damn.
Yes.
Oh, that's exactly what y'all just did. Y'all just hit my bonus. Thank you. Thanks for that.
Look, we had something else scheduled, but he did a Will Johnson. Once he hit that bonus, the hamstring acted up. Remember that? Remember Will Johnson?
Classic. I feel my hammy right now, bro. I got to go.
Yeah, that was man, what a move, man. All right, guys.
Till next year, guys. 2022. Merry Christmas. Right around the corner. Holidays. 70 days into the opening season. And guess what? The schedule. We're going to have to talk about the schedule the next time. I forgot all about the schedule. But we'll talk about this. We'll talk about it next time before. We're going to have a couple here in about 2 weeks.
We're going to have to wait for the season preview for that one, bro.
Yeah. Okay. We've been gone for a minute, so we had a lot to talk about. Peace out, everyone.
See ya. Till next year.
Bye now.
Thanks for listening to the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Until next time, be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook and at OrlandoLionsDen.com.